resurrection chapter, and we're going to work our way down into the chapter some, and we're going to see two men who Jesus appeared to on the same day that he raised from the dead. These two men, we do not know exactly who they are. We know that one of them's name is Cleopas, and we'll mention that in just a minute. But we are going to pick up the story in the 13th verse of the 24th chapter of Luke. Luke 24, verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Heavenly Father, bless the preaching of your word tonight. Lord, we ask that you would, Lord, take this encounter between Jesus. Here he is on the resurrection day, and he appears to two disciples, Lord, that's just taken a journey, just have an errand to run or someone to go check on. We don't know the reason that they made this walk. But boy, their lives were changed when Jesus joined them on that walk. And so, Lord, I pray that we also would learn the principles from your word that would help us to have a sweeter and better walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm naming the message tonight, A 6 Mile Walk with Jesus. A 6 Mile Walk with Jesus. I had to get my calculator out and do some figuring. It says that they were 60 furlongs between Jerusalem and Emmaus. Now, a furlong is 582 feet. And so if you take that times 60 and then divide it by the number of feet in a mile, it's about 6.6 miles. Man alive, can you think about that? And then I thought, well, I better Google something else. What is the average walking speed of a human being? And so here we are, 3 miles per hour. Now, I don't know if they were going the average or not because they were in conversation. But let's say they were doing about the average walking speed of humans. And that means that they would cover in 1 mile about 20 minutes, and it would take them 20 minutes to cover a mile. Well, they had 6.6 miles to go. Now, folks, that's just a little over 2 hours that they enjoyed walking down a road, think about this, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Later on, the worst part of the story when they tell it is, and we didn't even know he was there. We didn't even know who he was. You know, I wonder how many times by the end of their life they said, if we'd only knew that Jesus was with us, the questions we could have asked and the things that we could have said and the ways we could have expressed our love to him. But these two men enjoyed a 6 mile walk with Jesus. Folks, our cars, I'm afraid, have about ruined us. Now, don't come ask for mine because I'm not that much against them. But I think we might have been a better country when we spent more time walking than we did driving. One of the blessings of the inner city, and one of the things I learned when I spent my time during my Bible college days in the city, and I still say this, if you're going to go to Indianapolis, if you're going to go to a city and you're going to really get to know that city, the best thing to do is park your car and do some walking downtown and walk. They got a chance to do something that I wish I could do. One of these days, I'm going to get the chance to walk with Jesus. And it isn't going to be for a couple hours. It's going to be for all eternity. But these two men had a unique experience here. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, the Bible says. After he got done talking to Mary, he appeared to the other women who had heard the angel that we talked about this morning and were heading back to tell the disciples. And we see that he heads them off and has a conversation with them. And then sometime between when he met them and when he met these two men on the road to Emmaus, he also appeared to Simon Peter. And nothing's really said about that. Kind of interesting. I can't wait to, other than it just being mentioned in the Bible, I want to one of these days go see Peter and say, Peter, we get to see what he talked to the women about and what he said to Mary Magdalene. But there was something there that Jesus and Peter needed to take care of in private there. And here is the fourth appearance of the resurrected Savior as he joins these two men. Now, let me just make some general observations before we really get into the meat of what I want to cover. First of all, these two men were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't believe that these two were two of the 12 disciples, his inner circle. But remember, it wasn't just 12 disciples that Jesus trained. We can go back into the Gospels and find at one place where he had 70 men that he had spent enough time with and paired them off two by two and sent them out preaching. So I'm going to say that these two men were probably of that larger group, but they were disciples. Listen, they were people who had decided that they wanted not just to know Jesus as Savior, but they were willing to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow him. Listen, you can be saved and not be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's your decision. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to have these road to Emmaus type experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ until you make some decisions concerning how important he is in your individual life. So we see that these men were two of his disciples. Number two, this interesting fact, their eyes were hidden that they should not know him. And I think that's fascinating. You know, folks, Jesus made that choice. He wanted to have a conversation with them, and he wanted to find out what they were thinking and what they were feeling and give them a chance to express themselves and convince them. Watch this. He could have convinced them that his crucifixion was necessary and resurrection was real by just revealing himself to them. But you know, he chose a different way. We're going to get to this, but he decided that he would go back to the scriptures and prove from the Old Testament prophecies that crucifixion was predicted and the resurrection was foretold. And folks, listen to me today. If you won't be convinced by this book, you wouldn't be convinced if Jesus himself showed up in your home tonight and spoke to you face to face. This is what we need to learn to trust and to believe. And so he withheld himself. Their eyes were whole. Number three, we only know that one of their names, his name was Cleopas. We don't know the name of the other one. And I kind of think that maybe the Lord didn't tell us the other one's name because maybe he wants all of us to understand that We can put our name there, and we can be invited to have this type of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleopas, we don't know a lot about. There was a woman, if you go back and look at the crucifixion story, by the name of Mary, who was with Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the foot of the cross. Remember that story when Jesus looks down and he assigns the care of his mother over to John? And there was a woman there with his mother by the name of Mary also. And she's identified as Mary, the wife of Cleopas. Now, I don't know if that's the same Cleopas or not, but let me tell you something. They were tight. They were tight with Jesus's family. They took care of Jesus, helped take care of Jesus's mother. And you know what? These were maybe not, maybe Cleopas wasn't one of the 12, but I think he was a dedicated, him and his wife, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. A 6 mile walk with Jesus. Think about that. Let me point out 4 things in our message tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. Number one, Jesus was interested in their conversation. Look, if you will, at verse number 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Boy, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to say this to every one of us. If Jesus listened in to all of our conversations this past week, would he have been pleased with what we have spent our time talking about? You know what? I had a phone call with another preacher here in the county, and he wanted to make me aware of a situation that was going on. And so he called me up. And of course, our preachers are kind of talking because a lot of the situation is so fluid, and you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. So he called me to talk to me about a certain situation as far as our drive-in services. And then he said, I know that another pastor has more information about this. And I said, well, let me hang up and I'll call this other pastor and I'll see if I can get that information. He said, well, why don't I just give him a call and then include him in this conversation. And you have to understand, your preacher's kind of a tech-tard, okay? So I said, do what? He said, well, don't hang up. He said, I'll add him as a call to this conversation. Now, folks, this is just getting weird. I know for you young people, you think, oh, well, yeah, everybody knows that. No, we all don't know that. We don't know that. And I said, and he said, just hold on. Next thing I know, I hear the phone ringing and this other preacher picks up and all three of us are talking together on this phone call. Now, folks, you got to remember, I was raised in a home in Brazil, Indiana that had a phone. Yes, it was attached to the wall. And you know what? There wasn't any go hiding in your room. You went as far away from the phone as the cord would let you go, okay? And we had a party line. Maybe we did have three-way listening, I come to think of it. Because there was that nosy woman down the road that didn't have anything else to do. And every time we'd get on the party line, every once in a while she'd pick up and you could hear click and she'd like listening up. So maybe y'all aren't as far ahead of us as we thought, man. I'm feeling better about this already. Praise the Lord. That's good. But, hey, can I remind you of something? In every conversation, there is a third party. In every conversation that I have, hey, this would be good for us. Well, preacher, me and this buddy of mine, we just met. We were walking in the park and we were talking. You weren't the only two walking together. And there was somebody else listening in on that conversation. And you know, that would help all of us, I think, if we just remembered that Jesus is our constant companion. And Jesus was interested in what they were talking about. So number one, Jesus was interested in their conversation. Number two, I want to just point this out. There is enough about Jesus in the Old Testament to convince any honest person that he was the Messiah. And then I just want to say this, folks, listen to me. When these folks begin to doubt, these disciples, who, by the way, were serious about following Jesus, but they had some preconceived notions about who Jesus was and when he was going to set up his kingdom. And they didn't understand. They did not understand from the Old Testament that Jesus Christ needed to come the first time as the sacrificial lamb and the second time as the lion of the tribe of Judah, folks. He is coming back. They just kind of missed that whole church age thing in between, you know. And so they were confused. They said, you know, we thought he was the Christ. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was here to set up his kingdom. And Jesus, then the Bible says, and he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, this is the remarkable part to me. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You say, preacher, did he have a copy of the Old Testament with him that he just happened to pull out? Listen, you remember, this is the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I've met some preachers that have some extraordinary abilities when it comes to memorizing the Scripture. And I mean that. I've listened to men who preached an entire message. Not one time did they look down at their Bible. Every single thing that they read from the Bible, they quoted by memory. And you know what? Hats off to them. I think that that is noble, and I think all of us ought to spend more time memorizing the Bible than we did. But Jesus didn't have to memorize the Bible. He was the Bible. I love saying this. If you could take the King James Holy Bible and turn it into a person, you'd have Jesus Christ. If you took Jesus Christ and turned him into a book, you'd have the King James Holy Bible. And so, folks, listen to me. He didn't need to have a copy. He was a copy of it. And can you imagine? I'm thinking about this. This blows my mind. So they have this initial conversation. They got 2+ hours walk with Jesus. And he just starts all the way back in Genesis, all the way through Moses, that's the Pentateuch, and all the way through the prophets. Can you imagine the Word of God just flowing out of him? And he'd bring up this Old Testament truth, and he'd bring up that Old Testament truth. And can you imagine their minds are overwhelmed with the evidence found in the Old Testament. Listen to me, my Jewish friend. You're not going to stand before Jesus Christ and say, well, I never read the New Testament, only the Old Testament, so there was no way I could have known that Jesus was the Messiah. No, no, no. He didn't use the New Testament that day. He just spoke directly out of the Old Testament. He took them through maybe some of the 300 messianic prophecies that we find in the Old Testament. I mean, folks, everything that identified Jesus' place of birth to his mother being a virgin, to the prophecies that talk about his ministry on earth, the prophecies that predict the type of death, and the prophecies that also told about his resurrection. I mean, can you imagine Jesus beginning to quote Isaiah 53 and begin to talk down through Isaiah 53 and say, why didn't you not pay attention to this? Why are you surprised that I died on the cross? Why are you surprised that the Messiah had to rise from the dead? You imagine him talk about Joseph, who in typology is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You imagine him telling the story in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace and say, who do you think that fourth man was? I mean, can you imagine that? Imagine him just being able to talk about the tabernacle. If he just spent some time talking about the tabernacle, he would talk about the laver symbolizing the living water and the showbread that's a type of the bread of life and the lampstand that illustrates Jesus as the light of the world and the altar of incense as picturing him interceding on our behalf and the veil that was rent, picturing his human flesh that needed to be torn in order that we might be able to have an intimate relationship with God the Father. That must have been a Bible study. Can you imagine? Imagine Jesus as he began to tell the story of Abraham taking Isaac up on that mountain, folks, and sacrificing his own son. And then that ram that was caught. Can you imagine him just breaking all this down for them as he again and again and again they see the stories of Jesus Christ and the Old Testament coming alive. And by the time they got done with that two-hour walk with Jesus through the Old Testament, they were convinced this had to happen. This was predicted. He is the Messiah. You know, that's pretty special. I think, you know, folks, what we need to do is each and every one of us, we need to just spend some more time studying the Word of God and walking with the Savior. I want to give you one more thought. Here we go, maybe two. Jesus once, I want to say this as I studied this. I got down to verse number 28 and 29. I know this isn't a major point, but I want to say this to every Christian. I believe Jesus wants to be wanted by us. I believe he wants to be wanted by us. He spent 2+ hours walking with these two men, expounding the scriptures to them. And then verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. You wonder, have I worn out my welcome here? Have I spent too much time talking to this person? And so what you do is you begin to kind of excuse yourself and end the conversation and begin to exit from the situation. And you know what? Jesus, he did that very thing. You know what he wanted to see? He wanted to see, you know what? If I make as if to go on, will they just let me go away? Have they heard as much as they want to hear? Are they more concerned about the food that's waiting inside than they are spending more time with me? And can I stand here and plead for Jesus for a minute? Folks, as we jump out of our beds in the morning, charge off into the day, and we don't even take time to open the Bible or pray or spend any time with the Lord Jesus, can I say this? He wants to be wanted.
Yes.
He wants to be wanted. I want to teach you young people some things. Let me say this. The most unimportant things in life clamor constantly for your attention. And the most important things of life will not whisper a word, will just sit quietly and wait for your attention. If you're going to do the most important things, then you have to live by principle and not pressure.
Yes,
principle and not pressure. Because the things that pressure you all the time usually are not the most important things. It's the things that just set. Listen, your King James Bible in the morning when you get up, it's not going to start screaming from the coffee table, hey, don't forget me. It's not going to say a word. It's not going to say a word. You know what? If you rush out the door and don't spend time with Jesus, you're not going to hear thunder and lightning. And you know what? He's not going to make a tree fall down in front of your vehicle and make you back up and go back in. You know what he does? He just wants to be wanted. He just wants you to want him. And so I thought about these two men after 2 hours. You know what? They weren't like, well, enough of that. They were like, oh, no, wait, no. Well, it's been good talking to you. No, please. I know this is where we're going and we're going to eat a meal, but there's enough for you. Please, we want to spend more time. Could you just eat with us? I think that made Jesus feel so good because he was wanted. By the way, I'm going to go on and say this. They, you know what? He did not reveal himself to them until it was in the house when they insisted he spend more time. And I think some of us, we just spend a certain amount of time with Jesus and then we're done and we want to go off to the things that we want to do. But you know what? Can I say this, folks? Listen to me. There's some ways Jesus is never going to reveal himself to you till he knows how bad you want him. How bad you want him. Because it says in verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And that's when it happened. Let me give you this last thought. And this will be the challenge for tonight. We'll be done. Number 4, the best thing for your heart. The best thing for your heart is to spend time with the living word and with the written word. Look at verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and when he opened to us the scriptures? Somebody asked an old preacher, he said, preacher, I want to talk to you about my morning devotion. I want to talk to you about my Bible reading time. And could you give me a formula, please? Could you just tell me how many chapters should I read every day in the Bible? Preacher, tell me, how much time exactly do you spend studying the Word of God? Give me a formula, preacher. How many chapters? How much time? And that old preacher looked at that young man that was asking the question and said, let me tell you how much Bible I read every morning. I read it until my heart begins to burn. I read it until my heart begins to burn. Folks, listen to me. I mean, this is the message. Here's the resurrected Christ. And you know what? We're celebrating the resurrection, the greatest miracle that ever happened. This is the day we set aside. And we talk about that empty grave. But can I tell you this? Jesus didn't rise from the dead so that he could take off and sit at the right hand of the Father and not have any communication with us. You know what this teaches us, this story? Yes, we serve a risen Savior. But you know what that risen Savior wants? He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. Listen, every time you take the Word of God and spend time in the written Word, you're also spending time with the living Word. And there's something about getting in contact with Jesus, the living Word of God, and then opening up the written Word of God. And as you read it, have Him begin to explain it to you. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Something will begin to happen in your heart. They said this, did not our heart burn within us? We're done. But look up here. We're done. When's the last time that you read the Bible until your heart burned within you? When's the last time as you listened to a sermon, you sat out there and you were so open and so honest with God that by the end of the message, your heart was burning within you? Let me say this, folks. We do serve a risen Savior. But as we close out Easter Sunday, before we walk away from this great doctrine, let's realize that Jesus rose from the dead. And yes, it was to provide us eternal life. But also, now that He is a living Savior, He wants to walk with you, and He wants to talk with you, and He wants to tell you that you're one of His own. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to meet together, and thank You for this great Resurrection Day story. And Lord, thank You that You're still there. Lord, You come to us, and You don't push Yourself on us. And Lord, many times, You withhold Yourself until You know whether or not we want You, whether or not we're interested. Thank You for giving us a copy of the Bible, the entire completed words of God. That's something these two men didn't have. Thank You that when we read it, our hearts can still burn. Thank You for sending us Your Spirit, that great tutor that helps to teach us the what is in the Bible. And Jesus, thank You for loving us. What a Sunday we've had. What a day. To be able to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, dear God, every Christian who's listening tonight, Lord, that something would begin in their heart, a desire to know You in a way they've never known You, and to spend more time walking with You than they've ever spent before. Help us, Lord, not to just celebrate a risen Savior. Help us to spend time fellowshipping with a